We've got the first half of the Stanley Cup Finals figured out. We're waiting on team number two. We're going to break down the Avalanche sweep of the Edmonton Oilers, talk about the Rangers Lightning series, give some kudos to the Oilers that they proved me wrong, but ultimately the Avalanche were the better team. And then we're going to talk playoff format, matchups, skill, and a little bit of luck as well. All that coming up here on episode 136 of the Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast. Let's go. It is a rainy Tuesday morning here in London, Ontario. The Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast, Kyle Gamard, your host as always for Tuesday, June the 7th. I love the fact that we're now into a full week of June and there's still playoff hockey and actually probably a week, maybe 2 weeks left in the season. And it's just a lot of fun when we're getting temperatures plus 20 degrees. A little rainy today, but that is okay. Follow along on Instagram and Twitter, ST Hockey Podcast, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, wherever you want to listen to your favorite podcasts. Got another breakdown of the Hockey Writers coming out about player grades. I am doing a few different names, but one in particular, the head coach, Bruce Boudreau, is going to be on this list and his player grade or grade in general from the 2021-22 season. That should be coming out a little bit later on this week. So we'll talk about, obviously, the Colorado Avalanche, the first team to move on to the Stanley Cup Finals. They sweep the Edmonton Oilers with a 6-5 overtime victory in Game 4 in Edmonton. I do want to give some props to the Oilers. We'll do that because they proved me wrong all year long making it this far. But there's a lot of question marks as to what's to come of them. But ultimately, it just, the Avalanche were the better team. We'll get into that. The Rangers Lightning series, Lightning far from done. The Rangers kind of exceeding expectations, but also not really at the same time. So we'll break that down. And then I want to talk a little bit more about the playoff format and how, as good as, yes, I understand that the best teams end up making it, but a lot of it has to do with matchups as well. I'll explain myself in a little bit and I'll kind of go through everything just to see my point, but it just kind of gives a different perspective that the teams that are here are easily the best teams, but also the matchups they've had along the way have a little bit to do with it. So we'll go into all that in just a little bit. Let's start with the Avs and Oilers. And this was an absolute barn burner. 5-5 going into overtime. And that set up Arturi Lehkonen.
Helm up with it. Here's Makar. Loose ball. Arturi Lehkonen has scored. And for the second straight year, he sent his team in overtime to the Stanley Cup Final.
Arturi Lehkonen scored the goal that sent Colorado to its first final in over 20 years, 2001. What's also crazy about this goal, too, is that Arturi Lehkonen was the round three hero last year in overtime when he was with the Montreal Canadiens. He scored the game-winning goal against Vegas in Game 6 that sent them to the Stanley Cup Finals against Tampa. I love the quote after the game. They were talking about Nathan MacKinnon afterwards, and he's like, I trade 10 first-rounders for him at this moment. So I love that. He was acquired, obviously, from Colorado, or from the Habs by Colorado by the deadline in March. Was an unreal game. Cale Makar, I don't know what to say. He was absolutely something else. And now the Avs get to sit and do what Tampa did last round. They will sit after a sweep. They'll wait maybe close to 10 days to see what happens between Tampa Bay and New York. And then they will see who they play for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Before we get to the Avalanche, I wanted to, and I know the last time we did a podcast too, the Kane incident with Kadri happened. I'll talk about that too. I want to start with the Oilers. I got to say, they proved me wrong all year with their defense and their goaltending. Their offense was never a problem. But I always question, you know, you can't go this far without defense, can't go this far without goaltending. And they were one of the top four teams remaining in the Stanley Cup playoffs. What this team showed me is that they can win come playoff time, and they will be back next year. My only concern is of all the players that you had the defense, Mike Smith was your guy, the offense was superb. Say what you want about Evander Kane. A lot of people, there's a lot of rugged ridges with him. He had like 13 goals in 13 games or something stupid like that. So obviously he was an impact player when they got him. They've only got about $7.1 million in cap space next year. Kane's a UFA. Kyler Yamamoto's an RFA. Koskinen's off the books, but Mike Smith's still there for another year. They got a couple more RFAs they got to worry about. Next year, Evan Bouchard's going to be an RFA. They have three more years of Cody Ceci, two more of Tyson Berry, eight more of Darnell Nurse. I thought they had at least double digits in terms of cap to work with, where you could sign a goalie and maybe get a defenseman, both for around the $5 million range. But I didn't realize Yamamoto was an RFA. The offense, the thing with this team, the forward group is fine even without Kane. Even if, let's just say, they pick one of Kane or Yamamoto. Maybe they go Yamamoto, and then they take a shot on a young goaltender, and maybe he's the guy. But Draisaitl, McDavid, Hyman, Nugent, Hopkins. All locked up for at least the next 3 years. They can either add a piece, they can maybe bring in a guy like maybe Andrew Kopp. I really like him to a pretty solid deal. Maybe go get an Andre Palat, who's a UFA this season with Tampa. But they've got four of their top six secure. Warren Fogle's still there. Cassian Deal's still there too, but like he's a guy I think Edmonton would want on their team. Maybe they go out and maybe they move a guy and they bring in a top six piece, maybe another a top four D man to kind of really cement them. But I the Oilers proved me wrong. They're going to be very different next year. I'm very intrigued to see where they're going to spend their money. They have $7.1 million. Kane's UFA, Yamamoto's an RFA. Those are the two big ones. And they still need a goalie because Koskinen's off the books. It's going to be very interesting to see where they go with that money. It'll be a lot of fun. Also on Kane, we'll get to this right now. Kane, game three, pushes Kadri from behind, knocks him into the boards. Boarding penalty, 5-minute major. He gets a game misconduct. Kadri, unfortunately, out for possibly the rest of the playoffs. He had surgery on his hurt thumb. There's a chance he may or may not come back, but it's very unlikely. Here's what I'll say about it. Kane had time, didn't let up. Was it a hard push? Maybe not. Are they both going 20 kilometers an hour down the ice into the corner and Kane pushed him? Yeah. I would have given him two games. Ultimately, it didn't matter because, you know, the series is over now. But I just feel for Kadri. I feel for Colorado because Colorado, similarly, is not going to have this same team. Kadri's gone. Or they find a way to re-sign him, and Burakovsky and Nichushkin and a lot of other really good depth players for Colorado are gone. Like, there's going to be a lot of different makeup with Colorado. Kemper's and a UFA as well. There's a lot of change on that team coming, and Kadri's going to get the bank. Like, Kadri's probably going to get around $8 million this season. Maybe more. And it just sucks. And I would spend more time on it, but the series is over. There's not another game coming. It just sucks because Kadri's such an X factor on that team. And when you have the McKinnon, Rantanen, Landeskog, and then Burakovsky, who's skating again, by the way, Nichushkin, who's been a factor, JT Compher's been a factor, and then you throw Kadri in as like a really difference-making center on this team that is a matchup nightmare. And to know the fact that Colorado's not going to have him playing either a really good defensive Tampa team who can match up with any team or the Rangers who keep getting better every round just sucks for Colorado, and it does hurt their chances a little. I still think they're the favorite, especially if Darcy Kemper can get back. But listen, for this series at the end of the day, the Avalanche were the better team. They always have been this season. And it was a bad matchup for the Oilers. And we'll talk about matchups a little bit later on too. But for the Oilers, right, Colorado had the star power to match McDavid, Draisaitl. I'm not saying they were good, but they had the players to at least kind of go back and forth. Like, McKinnon's right up there. Then you've got Rantanen and Landeskog, Kadri when he was there, Mikhail Makar on the back end, who's easily the best defenseman in this series. Then you have the defensive depth that just completely outclassed Edmonton with Taves and Makar, Johnson, Bowen Byram, Gerard, you name it. And they have the depth. They had the Compher's. Burakovsky, who I know was hurt. Nichushkin. Darren Helm was getting in on plays. They had the depth literally everywhere. Even when Kemper got hurt, Francouz was going toe-to-toe with Mike Smith. So the goaltending didn't really change. In fact, that actually improved for the Oilers. But the Avs are just a better team. And that, I think, was the instance where the Oilers kind of overcame. A lot of people thought Calgary was a better team than Edmonton. Edmonton just overpowered them. But this was an instance where, like, this team will go as far as the big boys take them. And they were great in this series. And I also want to give a quick shout out to Leon Draisaitl, who was clearly playing at, like, 30%. The dude could barely skate, was putting up points and getting assists. Darnell Nurse apparently also played with a lower body injury. They had the actual injury. I just can't find it right now. But he was playing with some sort of torn something for all three series. So good on Darnell Nurse. I know there was a little bit of hate coming Nurse's way. The dude was hindered. He was hurt. And he still played, I think, pretty solid hockey. What a warrior. And just really good. That team fought. And that's what you want to see. You want to see fight out of a team like that and just really good on the Oilers. They were just bested by a better team. And there's just, at that point, you just kind of tip your cap and say, hell of a series. We'll be back next year. All right, let's move on here to the other series that is still currently going on. Right now, the New York Rangers lead the Tampa Bay Lightning 2-1, game 4 tonight in Tampa. The Rangers took the first two games. Tampa clawed their way with a last-minute goal from Andre Palat to get Tampa back in the series. This series has been really underrated. A lot of people, which is funny because it's been the better of the two series. Yes, the games between Colorado and Edmonton were like the 8-6 game and 6-5 in overtime. A lot of people were saying that about the Calgary-Edmonton series too. The problem was is that they were over. There were a lot of goals. It was very entertaining. I wish there was more of it. But this Tampa, New York, like when I watch hockey, yeah, like it's entertaining when there's a lot of goals. I like watching two pristine teams going at it who are making near perfect plays every time they're on the ice. And the one moment you're a little imperfect, you pay for it. That's what we're getting out of the series from New York and Tampa. These are two very high level, high octane, high IQ teams who are playing at a near perfect play with two of the best goaltenders on planet Earth. And it just took one collapse in front of Shesterkin and Tampa Bay's back in this series. And Tampa is far from done. But I will say this about the Rangers. This is the first time, by the way, Rangers went up 2-0 in the series. The first time Tampa Bay has lost back-to-back games in the playoffs since their first run 2 years ago. But at some point you knew it was happening. The Rangers, I've heard this on a few different shows as well, they have seemingly gotten better with every round. Even though the first two rounds went 7 games, they've gotten over hurdles that would have stopped them in the past. The first round against Pittsburgh, closing out the game 7. Then the series against Carolina, winning a game on the road, taking it to them 6-2 in game 7. And now beating Tampa Bay twice for the first time in Tampa's 3-year run as the defending back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. They are constantly clearing hurdles over and over again. And a lot of people are like, they're not surprised, but they're just like, oh, the Rangers are kind of ahead of schedule in terms of their development and where they are as a team. But you kind of saw this coming. Here's why. They won back-to-back lotteries to select Kaapo Kakko and Alexis Lafreniere. Number 2 overall, number 1 overall. Igor Shesterkin was this fourth rounder who's now become one of the best goaltenders in the game. Chris Kreider, for 2 seasons, was a trade target at the trade deadline on the TSN Sportsnet trade baits, and then signed long-term, and this year became a 50-goal scorer. You won the Panarin sweepstakes and signed him in the offseason a few years back. Adam Fox, after college, turned into this stud of a defenseman on the back end. Up until this season, Jacob Trouba wasn't living up to the contract and the first-round pick you gave up and is now a huge, impactful player in the playoffs. Jacob Hedl was another former first-round pick that just came into this own this season. Oh, and by the way, they acquired Mika Zibanejad a few years back, not knowing he was going to be the star that he is. Do you remember that trade, by the way, with the Ottawa Senators and the New York Rangers for Mika Zibanejad? Here was the trade. The Rangers sent Derek Brassard and a seventh-round pick. Derek Brassard to the Sens for Mika Zibanejad and a second. Not only did the Rangers get the better player, and Brassard was a good player at the time, don't get me wrong, but the Rangers got the better player for the long term, and they got a second. Long story short, all the things that the Rangers have done over the last few seasons, and by the way, the signing of Barclay Goodrow and the Ryan Reeves trade, like everything has come together so far for the Rangers. And this isn't just like an all-in-one-year thing. Like, they've been doing this for a while, and this is now going to be for the long haul. So Zibanejad's locked up. There's three more years left on Shesterkin's deal. Panarin locked up. Fox locked up. They got to worry about Heat a little bit later on. They got to sign Capo, and Lafreniere will be in another year. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, they have set themselves up for a few years here, and then at some point they'll run into some cap problem, because that's the problem. When you're a team who's really good and you have too many good players, you've got to decide who you want to keep. The Rangers right now are in the sweet spot where they're paying the guys that are really making a difference. Their young guys are high-end prospects who are starting to make an impact, who are on low deals, and your goaltender's on this unbelievable bridge deal that he came out of nowhere on at $5.6 million for three more seasons. But this series is far from done. Tampa Bay is as gutsy a team as I've ever seen over the last three seasons. They have been in holes already in these playoffs. They've been in holes for the last two seasons. They're also still doing this despite the fact that Braden Point hasn't played a game in the last two playoff series. But they're hoping for him to be back in the next little bit. They've still got their core of Hedman, Vasilevsky, Kucherov, Palat, Stamkos. Ross Colton has been a big player on that team. We've seen Nick Paul be a big impact player. Brandon Hagel be an impact player. They give up two firsts for him. And they play at home tonight. And if they win tonight, this series is tied at two. So there is a very good chance Tampa evens this thing up. There's also a chance that the Rangers find a way to win one on the road. They've learned how to do it in the Carolina series. They took down the Penguins in round one. They have overcome obstacles at every round so far, and they've got a chance to do it here. Like, this will be the big one. Taking one in Tampa's massive for the Rangers. Tampa's down 3-2 to Toronto, but 3-2 is different because you win one at home and then game seven doesn't matter. But 3-1, you've got to go back and play a game in New York. You've got to go back to Tampa in game six and then go back for a game seven. That's a lot of gameplay that can happen in between where things don't go your way. And the New York is a very good team. This series is far from over. I am very, very excited to watch this game, see how this goes. But man, the Rangers are just, everything has come to fruition with everything I just listed. They're playing really good hockey, and maybe the injury to Point is enough that the Rangers can find a way to end their run. But I'm not betting against Tampa. This series just is so underrated to me. I can't wait to see what happens game four. We had a few news stories to get to, but I want to finish off kind of our bigger segments with the last thing here. Listen, I've said it before. I'll say it again. The best teams are usually the ones standing. We're currently seeing it right now with two of the best goaltenders in the league battling it out. Right, that teams need a good goaltender. Colorado is arguably the best team in the league. But sometimes as well, when the best teams remain standing, part of it is because of the matchup that you draw and whether it's a good matchup for your team or a bad matchup for your team. Now, I'm not saying it's everything, but for the sake of argument, I want to go through each conference this year, almost every matchup, on how it affected the course of the playoffs and where it turned out to be. Let's start in the East with the Florida Panthers. They had the Washington Capitals in round one. Washington had goaltending issues all season long, were notorious for giving up goals in bunches and giving up goal leads. The Panthers were the highest scoring team in the salary cap era and are literally named the Comeback Cats. It was a recipe for disaster for Washington. And it was a great matchup for Florida Panthers. Had they played Carolina, Pittsburgh, Maybe Florida doesn't get out of round one. Who knows? But Florida goes on and moves on to the second round, where they play Tampa Bay, who never give up leads. Despite being one of the highest scoring teams in the regular season, they got swept. Why? Because Tampa can clamp down on that. Bad matchup. If Toronto moved on, maybe Florida has an easier time scoring goals. Maybe Florida is playing right now in the conference finals. It's a lot of what ifs, but just continue to hear me out here. Let's move on to the Leafs. My buddy said it from day one. He said, I want anybody but Tampa. Why? Bad matchup. I think if they played literally any other team in the first round, they would have moved on to at least round two. I think that they could have gone toe-to-toe with Florida. I think they would have smoked Washington. Boston, there would have been a lot of demons there. That series might have gone longer, but I think they could have beaten them. I think they would have beaten Pittsburgh. Maybe or maybe not the Rangers, but like the Rangers, like I said, have gotten better every round. But Toronto drew arguably one of the hardest matchups in round one, Tampa Bay, who knows how to close out a series, who have been doing this for now two straight years. Bad matchup. Remember last year, same thing. Toronto-Montreal, round one. Not the best team, Montreal, but world-class goaltender. Very defensive team. Opportunistic when you make mistakes. Bad matchup. Had Toronto played, I don't know, the Oilers last year in the Canadian division. Not the best goaltending. You match up player for player. Maybe your defense gives you a little bit more of an edge in goaltending, and you find a way to win the series. That would have been a better matchup. Let's move on to Pittsburgh. Now, the Rangers have been in the playoffs in recent memory, but in terms of this forward group and whatnot, this is like their first real deep run as this unit with Igor Shesterkin and Nett, with, you know, Zibanejad as the number one guy, with Panarin on the right side. There's almost a naiveness to it where Pittsburgh's been there before, and sometimes a naive team is a dangerous team. They've got a great goaltender, very deep team. Not a great matchup for Pittsburgh, who also didn't have the starting goaltender. Had Pittsburgh played Boston, Washington, a lot of playoff demons in Washington going up and playing Pittsburgh. Maybe it's a different story. It's a bad matchup for Pittsburgh. Let's go to the West. The Flames got the Dallas Stars in round one. And yeah, they won the series, but that was a lot tougher of a series than many of us thought it would be. Won seven games. Their goaltender, Jake Ottinger, was fantastic, and it was a very low-scoring game for a team like Calgary who, you know, was getting a lot done towards the end of the regular season. But they weren't deep enough to take out Calgary, so Calgary did have the edge in matchup. All of a sudden, you go in round two. They never played them well in the regular season. Jacob Markstrom's numbers against the Oilers this season were atrocious. He had like a 4.5 goals against. It's a bad matchup for them. That's why everybody was so confused. Everyone was like, Calgary is such a good team. Why aren't they winning? Well, it's a bad matchup. The star players in Calgary cannot keep up to the star players in Edmonton. And it showed. Dreisaitl had 17 points in five games. He was also kind of hurt. Imagine what he could do at full strength. Bad matchup. You see where I'm going with this? Colorado was a bad matchup for anybody. But then they played round two against St. Louis. And St. Louis, yes, who went out in six, they were probably the best matchup-wise in the Western Conference for Colorado. Outside of maybe Calgary. Like, if Calgary played Colorado, I feel like that would have been a tighter series. But look at Colorado's other two series. Sweep Nashville, sweep Edmonton. St. Louis is literally the only team that has beaten Colorado in the playoffs so far. Why? They match up better. We will see what happens with the Rangers and Lightning series. But I just want to point out, matchups are so crucial. And I think play a bigger role than a lot of people give. You play who's in front of you, but sometimes the opponent on the other side is a bad matchup for your team and the way your team plays the game. And matchup styles could be the difference maker in the Stanley Cup Finals. All right, that's it for the big news stories. I want to get to a couple small news and notes before we head off here. Let's start with the Boston Bruins. They have fired head coach Bruce Cassidy. The team announced yesterday Cassidy took over for the Bruins bench back in the 2016-17 season. He had guided them to the playoffs in every single year he was the head coach. They went to the finals in 2019 where they lost to St. Louis in Game 7. Their overall record for Cassidy, 245, 108, and 46. A lot of question marks behind this firing. Maybe it's due to the fact that there's a lot of coaching vacancies and a lot of options out there, including Barry Trotz. There's John Tortorella taking calls, and maybe Boston thinks they can upgrade. There's also conversations about the possibility of Patrice Bergeron not coming back, and there's going to be a very different look to this team moving forward. But nevertheless, an odd move. We will see who the next bench boss for Boston is very, very shortly, I'm assuming. Like I mentioned earlier, the Edmonton Oilers defenseman Darnell Nurse revealed he was playing through a torn hip flexor. That's what the injury was during the club's Western Conference final run. All three rounds, apparently, he was dealing with it. He played in 15 of the Oilers' 16 playoff games. He missed one due to suspension and really is going to be the backbone of that defense. I know his contract maybe isn't the greatest thing. However, that's going to be their guy for the next little bit. So, what a gutsy effort from a guy who really battled through and made the best of what he possibly could for Darnell Nurse. What an absolute warrior. As we mentioned a little bit earlier as well, Nazem Kadri unlikely to return for the playoffs after undergoing surgery on his thumb, though he isn't officially ruled out. TSN's Darren Dreger reported saying that the injury was in the early stages of Game 3 when he took that hit from Kane. He had surgery on it, so we will see when the timetable is. Unlikely to return, but not officially ruled out just yet. Winnipeg Jets star Kyle Connor won the 2022 Lady Byng Memorial Trophy, beating out fellow finalists Jacob Slavin and Jared Spurgeon. The award is given annually to the player who adhered to having exhibited the best type of sportsmanship and gentlemanly conduct combined with a high standard of playing ability. He had a career season at 47 goals, 93 points. He ranked fourth among all forwards in average ice time and only had four penalty minutes all season long. Really amazing stuff. And then Bruins center Patrice Bergeron won his record-setting fifth Frank J. Selke Trophy as the league's top defensive forward. He passed Montreal Canadiens legend Bob Gainey for the most Selke trophies in NHL history. He beat out Elias Lindholm and Florida Panthers captain Alexander Barkov for the other two finalists for the award, which was voted on by members of the Professional Hockey Writers Association. All right, that does it for the show today. Thank you very much for listening. As always, Instagram, Twitter at SD Hockey Podcast, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor.com, wherever you get your podcasts, really. Enjoy the rest of the one conference finals matchup remaining, and maybe, just maybe, by next Tuesday, we will have our Stanley Cup Finals preview. Stay safe, enjoy out there. I will see you next week. Until then, that's a wrap.